Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Cheryl Einhorn is back. Cheryl is one of the newest members of our brain trust. She's a media consultant, award-winning journalist, adjunct professor at Columbia, and the author of Problem Solved, all about how to help people make better decisions. And she's here to talk to us about that very topic. Cheryl, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's good to have you back. So I've been, decision-making has been one of the interesting elements in my career, in my world, and not only for myself, but helping the people that I talk to, whether it's consulting or through my media, helping them learn how to make better decisions and how to realize that perfection is the enemy of decision making, and the more you can move toward seeking excellence, the more you're likely to make more decisions, which I think making more decisions is a lot better than not. What do you think?
Look, I think that you're right. The whole idea is that we have to work with and work through ambiguity, right? We're not trying to solve our decisions with 100% of the information because the future by its very nature is uncertain. And so what we have to do is we have to find a way to not only collect evidence that is going to support or contradict our assertions, but we also need a way to think about all of our thinking flaws, right? These little cognitive biases that we're all prey to. The idea that researchers tell us that we make 40,000 decisions in any given day, right? Everything from what time to get up in the morning to what kind of a late night snack to have. And so our brains have set up these shortcuts so that we can get through our day, but these same shortcuts inhibit our ability to see new information and gain new insight. So when we're solving complex problems, we need a way that we can control for and counteract those biases too.
And the more, it seems to me that the more your decision-making makes you comfortable and makes you feel like you're really smart and seem to fit, every new decision seems to fit the last one that much better, the more you do that, the more dangerous things are becoming. What do you think?
Yeah, well, that's called confirmation bias, right? You're sort of doing what you've done before, and you sort of continue to rely on those same fact patterns. But the truth is that we need to be constantly updating reality because what we think and we feel is not necessarily the way that other stakeholders involved in our decisions think and feel about the decision and the fact pattern.
My favorite.
And so we need an opportunity. Sorry, go ahead, Jim.
No, sir, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, my thought was that what we need is a way to constantly push ourselves out of what we consider our own reality so that we can understand the incentives and motives of other people and update the situation as we're going along. And that's why my area method uses perspective taking, because perspective taking gives you that beautiful two-for-one. By walking in the shoes of somebody else and trying to understand their incentives and motives, you gain distance on yourself, and that's where we're really able then to challenge ourselves about our assumptions and our own judgment,
right,
so that we can solve our problems more holistically and therefore they can have a better chance to succeed.
One of my favorite stories, a real live rubber meets the road story, when I was a freshman in college, I worked for Bill Mangum in the furniture business. This guy had a college education, but he was a small town business owner, but he was so smart. He did something really great for me. He took me as a kid to a furniture mart. One day we flew to a furniture mart and spent a whole day in a furniture mart. I was country come to town. My eyes were as big as saucers, and he was buying all this furniture my job was to take notes on what we bought, right? Keep up with what we bought. And after lunch, I said, "Mr. Mangum, do you like those sofas you bought this morning? Because some of them were the ugliest things I'd ever seen." And he said, He said, no, I don't like them. I said, well, why did you buy them? He said, because if I only bought the things that I liked, I'd wind up with a building for the furniture I couldn't get rid of.
Oh, what a nice story.
I was just going to say, that's what he was doing. He was fighting confirmation bias. If it had been left up to me, we would have had all the stuff I like.
Look, and I think that's exactly
that's
right.
An application. That's a real-life merchandising, small business type of application of confirmation bias. What do you think?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I was recently doing, along that same line, I was recently doing a workshop for a group of CEOs for an organization called Vistage, which helps do coaching.
We know them
CEOs.
Very well here, yes.
Yeah, so terrific group. And, you know, one of the things that came out of one of the recent sessions that I did was that every CEO who I was working with that day, and most of them were looking at potential growth opportunities for their businesses, actually had framed the problem too narrowly, right? They were framing it, like you said, within their perspective. So one of them, for instance, was thinking about an acquisition, and he hadn't really thought about it would help him better vertically integrate his business.
Right.
And his customers, he said, were asking for it. But he hadn't actually thought about, for instance, what's happening in the acquisition target's industry. Why is this opportunity available? And what is the competitive analysis so that he could actually understand, if he had stepped into the perspective of the acquisition target, that was an industry that was very quickly consolidating. And he would have had an opportunity to then look at what had happened to his direct competitors who had made similar acquisitions, what happened to margins, for instance, what happened in terms of their possible expansion.
And the thing about it, Cheryl, in the 21st century, the end of the second decade of the 21st century, we're 20% through almost the 21st century. Things are moving so fast. If you can't avoid confirmation bias, you're going to get run over, aren't you?
Yeah, look, I think that's right, too. You have to have an opportunity to not only gain evidence and vet the details, you also need something that constantly pulls you out of those details to keep a focus on the big picture.
Hey, Cheryl, I need your website quickly, please.
Sure. It's called areamethod.com, A-R-E-A method.com.
All right.
Because my system is called the Area Method.
Check it out. And when we come back, we're going to get her to follow up on a report she gave us a few months ago. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.